is
a hose head production.
Jeffrey Dahmer soaked in blood. The Unabomber blowing up. Waco, Texas, and Heaven's Gates. Aliens modified men from apes. JFK shot in the head by the CIA. Bigfoot and the Mothman. Son of Sam talking to dogs again. Witches, ghosts, and goblins. Mysterious noise and hauntings. Dark arts in the skull and bones. Most celebrities are probably cloned. So if you're feeling all alone, crack a beer and get stoned. I welcome you to the podcast, Strange Brew. We're here to entertain you. We're here to entertain you.
It's about to get strange.
Welcome back, everybody. Yes, it is most definitely about to get strange. I'm one of your hosts, Tomcat, aka Tom Thompson, the Raptilian. You can find all my music on any music platform. I'm working on a new album, pretty exciting stuff. And a familiar voice, introduce yourself, sir.
Hey, man. Thank you so much, Tomcat, for having me back on. I am Chris Matthew from Forbidden Knowledge News, and very happy to get weird with you tonight, sir.
Yes, I'm very excited for this. As people are probably familiar with Forbidden Knowledge News, I've been on your show a bunch of times. We've talked about an array of strange subjects, that's for sure. And now you get to tiptoe in a little bit of my reality, my strange world over here. So,
I love it. I love it, man.
Talk. And so I want to bring this in that we're both avid users of magic mushrooms and psychedelics. I'm more of like, I would love to try acid and stuff eventually, even just once, like a one-time thing. I would be interested. I would like to know if you've done any of that stuff. I've done, I can't even think of it now. What's that stuff you smoke? The black stuff?
DMT?
Not DMT. I would love to do that. It was legal in Canada for a long time.
It's salvia? Like
salvia.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
People, have you ever tried it?
No, I haven't tried that one.
It's people claim it's like it's technically a psychedelic, but I don't know if I would classify it as that. I've had weird experiences on it. Like you could buy it in a corner store. So the subject that I want to kind of focus on is the idea of psychedelics and how it can heal your mind, but also it can kind of show you the darkness behind your own eyes and your own mind and the darkness behind others also, because it's pretty crazy, you know? So salvia was a weird one. It's, I'm surprised you never tried it. So you used to be able to buy it at corner stores in Canada, right? Really weird. And I don't know, like we just saw it. We're like, what's this kind of thing? And it was at like a bunch of different corner stores we saw. And it was like in a little like those display cases that turn right by where you like buy cigarettes. So like, all right, we could buy it. And the guy never asked for ID or anything like that. Ever. And then, so the first time I did, I was at this convenience store in this like small city, and we were sitting at a picnic table. And then I had headphones around my neck. It felt like a snake was on my neck. And the chick across me I was hanging out with some of my other friends started turning green and stuff. So you could classify it as it, but it's very weird. Like, I don't really like it. You feel weird for about maybe 2 minutes, you laugh your ass off, and then it ends.
Right on. Yeah. So, what I'll do is I'll start out with a big disclaimer. I do not recommend psychedelics to anybody. This is a very personal journey for each person. I think you have to be ready. You have to be respectful. You have to research what you're doing and make sure you go when you're going in that you maybe have a babysitter with you. But again, this is not anything I recommend to anybody. This was my personal journey. Somehow I've become known as the mushroom guy to talk to about some of these things, but it's cool, man. And I'm the next movie I'm making does kind of interweave psychedelic experience into near-death experiences and alien contact and things like that. But I can honestly say that I really owe where I'm at right now, this whole career, everything I've done, to my fearless consciousness exploration when it comes to magic mushrooms. And this was my primary substance that I used. I, like you said, acid. I used other psychedelics growing up as a teenager for like as a party drug, really. But I didn't really start using it for spiritual and healing purposes until like 2020.
Have you tried acid?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've done acid plenty of times, and I can't anymore because ever since I started doing mushrooms, the acid experiences have become very dark and disconnected. So I really don't enjoy any other types of psychedelics besides the mushrooms. And now I've even kind of, I don't want to say I've quit using them, but I don't really utilize them like I used to. I feel like I've gotten a lot of what I need from them in where I'm in my journey and where I'm going. Occasionally I'll go back and revisit the experience, but for a while there I was growing them and, you know, having these experiences quite often. But yeah, like I said, I really owe everything I am to the healing aspects and what they've shown me about myself and really the how they've opened my eyes to possibilities of the nature of reality when it comes to our metaphysical reality and the spiritual nature of things. I do think that these are a doorway, that these can open up your mind's eye to different realities, to information and intelligences that surround us at all times. But again, this comes with a warning because you're interacting with things at times that may not have your best interest in mind, that may not have humanity's best interest in mind. There's both dark and light intelligences in these realms. And I would recommend if you do go in, you go in with some sort of spiritual understanding and protection with you, because there's what I've encountered as trickster entities, even the most lowest, darkest. I wouldn't know if they were demonic, but very dark and nasty intelligences that I've encountered through my experiences. And no matter how dark and crazy the experiences got, I would always come away on the other end with a sense that thankfulness and a sense that I've learned something and grew from that experience, no matter how crazy and dark it got. But I don't know where you want to begin with this, because with my experiences, it actually all began with meditation and coming into contact with a voice that I now understand as my higher self that really gave me instructions on how to proceed with everything I was trying to do with my life. This meditative experience was so profound that I was communicating with something. It startled me at first, didn't know what I was communicating with, but it gave me the insights that I should heal childhood trauma. I should stop getting into shitty relationships and all these things I need to take care of in my life in order to proceed with the career and lifestyle and everything that I was looking to do with my life. And it really helped me focus in on that. And one of the messages was also psilocybin mushrooms will help you further heal and connect with some of this stuff. And I'm just thinking, I haven't done any psychedelics since I was a teenager. Now this voice in my head is telling me to do psychedelics. Am I having some sort of acid flashback or something? But this experience repeated itself, and I eventually moved to Colorado where I was able to legally grow these mushrooms and eventually started these very high dose journeys.
When you start, because I've never really attempted to meditate. Like I feel like I've done it in some regard when I've been on magic mushrooms, kind of, because you kind of get in that meditative state. Mm. But I just kind of wanted, how did you do it? Was it just like, you know, basic, like people call it Indian stance, but that the lotus stance or whatever, or would you lay down? Or
I actually got into the bathtub, hot water, put on 432 hertz tones, and this was
interesting.
This is my most success. So I think it's different for each person. They can connect in different ways, but for me, it's either just really comfortable laying down in bed or in water. Is acts like kind of like a conduit, and it strengthens the experience for
you. Want to relax but not fall asleep.
Yeah, that's right, don't fall asleep.
So and the thing is, I didn't use psychedelics later on in my life. I had a lot of friends growing up that were like doing magic mushrooms. I heard of these experiences, and it is strange because I was researching things like aliens and the reptilians, but I was like pretty young, like 16, 17 or something like that. So seeing my friends go through some of these experiences, like my friend claimed that he had 1,000 hands touching him, and I watched him freak out on a couch in the dark, right? And so I'm like, I don't know if I should be doing this stuff. And I agree with you, is that I think it's a powerful medicine and that people have to be very aware and conscious of where you are, what you're doing, what your mental state is. Don't do it if you're depressed or you've had a bad day. I've done that, and it does not show you anything good. And at the end of it, I still come out of it like relieved, and it's helped me in some sort of way. But it is, I think it can be dangerous. And like, I want you to get in your stories, but I've seen weird stuff like this, like where they claim it's on DMT that you'll be able to see stuff like this. But I was on like 4.5 grams and I was laying on the couch after I was watching some, like, I think I was watching Woodstock, like Leonard Skinner play, just like jamming with it. And I was closing my eyes. And every time I closed my eyes, I saw like 1,000 eyes looking back at me. And I was like, none of that. Okay, I'm going to snap out of that. But I've looked into, I've told this on the show before, that I've looked like really on high doses of mushrooms, like blue meanies. There's the one that I liked, Makila Gorilla, very like strong. And I've looked through the fractals, and I swear that I've seen like demonic faces or something, like just very lightly, but it's like translucent, like patterns that look almost like ancient tribal patterns. And when I've looked through them, I've almost like seen things looking at me, and it's freaked me out. But I was always, I was brave, and it didn't freak me out. Like, it didn't scare me mentally, but it like scared my insides. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What I think is happening is basically the entire universe is inside our consciousness. We can access different multiple infinite dimensions through going within ourselves. And when we go within, we can access everything, including these intelligences that lie in these different frequencies that we can't perceive during our waking lives. I think we experience similar things in dreams, near-death experiences, even what people correlate with alien contact experiences. And these experiences can be, when you're in them, it can be more real than your waking reality. I started out taking, you know, about 2 or 3 grams, somewhat heroic doses. And by the time, you know, a couple of years later, I was taking about 5 grams each time. And the experiences would become more and more all-encompassing. And eventually it'd be to where I would just lay down and I would take off and interact with different entities and have these insane different experiences. And I was able to get to a point where I could become aware enough to every once in a while jump up and take some notes about the experience. Because once you'd come back, it become like a dream and very, very difficult to remember a lot of the things that would occur. So I'd have to start writing them down. And some of the things that I'd come back with, like being in these strange astral classrooms with unseen intelligences teaching me about how to love myself again, aligning my chakras, how to heal this certain childhood trauma and go back into that instance in the past and move your childhood self out of that experience. Just insane things that whatever this intelligence was that I made contact with was helping me along. And I got the sense that the first higher self that I came into contact with through meditation was there as a sort of guide and protector during all these experiences, because there's times I'd get involved with intelligences that probably weren't, they didn't have my best interest in mind, tricksters, maybe malevolent intelligences that I would start to interact with. And that voice, that higher self voice, would come in and be like, you sure you want to talk to this person? You sure want to talk to this entity? I don't know. Sometimes it let me go and learn from the experience, and I'd get deep into it and start to visualize what I'm actually speaking with, and it turned into like a spider or a giant demon or something. And, you know, this voice would be like, yeah, you got to watch out for these things. And
see, and so you were doing this while doing like a more or less a meditation, right? Because I've attempted to do things like healing. Like most times I'd watch, my wife would be with me, right? So I'd be watching movies or music videos and kind of just hanging out, talking about her lives. And it was able for me to accept a lot of the pain and hurt that I maybe even inflicted on her when we were younger, because we've been together for so long, right? And I've only done it a couple times where I've had the opportunity to like lay there and really meditate. And as you were saying, like healing traumas, my mom had, she miscarried when I was 8, right? I think it affected me deeply more than she understands of her trauma actually being pressed upon on me without her even acknowledging it. And so like I lost a little brother. I always wonder where he was. And one experience, I swear I felt my mom's pain of when that experience happened to her. Like, that's how powerful this drug can be. And just to give you at least some of the experiences I've had. And then one time I was thinking about my grandparents that died, my two aunt and uncles that died of one of a tumor with drug-induced alcohol. Like, she was a massive alcoholic. And I swear I heard her voice say, "I'm here," in her voice. And it like shut, like just like, you know, when you get that cracked egg over your head feeling, like I think it's part of your chakras or something. And you just feel that like vibration all over your body. I felt that. And it just, it's crazy with the ability these things can do to unlock the trauma and the recesses of your mind, you know?
Mm. Yeah. I found whenever I would have an experience with someone else, like my wife or other group of people, that the experience would be focused on the collective energy, and it would focus on things that me and the other person would experience. But when I'm by myself and meditating, it goes deep, man. It goes deep into your psyche, and you face a lot of things you're not ready for, a lot of things you don't want to. It brings up those demons and those dark things that you did in your life that you're not proud of, that you never faced. And it gets difficult and it gets terrifying at times, but the key is to face it. The key is to look it right in the eye. And even if it's the biggest, baddest demonic looking entity that's associated with something in your childhood that you're not proud of, and it comes after you, you get the sense of what this is, why it's attacking you. And if you don't face it, it just gets worse and you start to have a bad trip and it just becomes a really not fun experience. But if you can just look it in the eye and understand why it's trying to show this to you, it becomes an incredibly healing experience. And that demon or monster turns into an angel or vibrant light or any, you know, some kind of healing, loving feeling. That is a transmute. It transmutes itself from something negative. And that's what I think the key to a lot of these experiences are.
And you have a certain practice of how you did it, like just lay down. Like, I listened to Alan Watts a couple times when I was doing it, just to kind of get in a very meditative state.
I would always put on 432 hertz tones.
Okay.
No music with vocals or anything. Nothing that could really guide my consciousness besides just the tones.
Because then you're picking up on words and things that the songs are associated with. Because I've been tripping balls out of my mind. And somehow YouTube, it's weird, finds these songs that invoke these emotions out of me. I don't know how it did. Like, I discovered this artist. I really like it. It's a British group, London Grammar. Very, like, methodical tunes, very emotional-based music. And it kind of invoked this thing out of me. And I was like, well, I didn't want to wake the wife. It was before I started a new job, whatever. I'm listening to headphones. It's plugged into like the PlayStation remote, and then I'm like start crying my eyes out, and like I don't even know why this song just like, and I didn't even, it just came on when I was thinking there, and then like it's weird how it guides you, and then certain songs will push you in certain directions of like trauma and stuff like that. And it's interesting how well it can use music, but that's why I'm interested of what you've done, because I want to also take that journey now that I've had so much experience with it. And as you have done, I was doing it almost every other weekend, every weekend last summer, watching horror movies outside, doing like crazy shit. People were like, "You're crazy." Like, I watched The Witch, like, out 4 grams of mushrooms on outside by the fire on a projector. And then I was obsessing about like me using the Ouija board when I was younger. After, I was like, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that." All the dark arts that I was thinking about, how long does like the dark dimensions, like this occult magic, sink into our reality, and how much has it been impacted on me? And, like, all these crazy thoughts. Like, I watched American Werewolf in London, High as Fun, and that was actually kind of fun. But I want to start using it for what you've done and actually try to attempt to reach some sort of higher being, especially my higher self, because I feel that he's there. How do you describe it?
Yeah, man. And these experiences became so intense, and the synchronicities and the synchromysticism seeped into my waking life in ways that I couldn't ignore. Things would unfold that I'd be told about in the experience. Too many quote unquote coincidences would unfold, and it would be like a story unfolding that would start in these astral realms that would seep into my waking life. And if I paid attention to the synchronicities and things that were showing up, and followed them in a certain way, I would find success. I would find happiness. If I didn't pay attention to them or ignored certain things, that's when things wouldn't go as they should in my life. And there were, if you want to, I can tell you about the two most absolutely insanely crazy experiences I've had.
Give me the juice, bro. I want to hear it.
Number one, this was a couple of years ago. It was one of my ex-girlfriends.
Can I ask, how many years ago did you start kind of going?
Since 2021.
Oh, whoa. So you've been doing this for a bit.
Yeah. That's why I don't really do it anymore. I mean, every once in a blue moon, I'll take a few, but I feel like
I want to get to where you got.
So especially after this last big experience that I'm about to tell you about, I really am like, okay, this is a lot and I need to take a break but I'll tell you about these two experiences. First one was with an ex-girlfriend a couple of years ago. And this one really set off the future experiences as in, they were a certain intensity, and then after this experience, like a rocket ship, every experience was insane after that. But with this one, I was with my ex-girlfriend, and she was a psychic intuitive healer. I don't know if I told this story on your show before.
I think you told me when I first came on your show, but was I want
Okay, I'll tell.
I want you to tell in full detail. I want all the audience to like hear this because it's wild.
So yeah, so me and my ex-girlfriend, she had not done any type of psychedelics or mushrooms, and I had some on hand, and she told me she wanted to try them, and she's like, well, yeah, and I can do a healing session for you. We'll do a regression, get you, heal some childhood trauma. And I was like, I trusted her at the time, which looking back was probably a bad idea.
Was that? Did she have experience in psychedelics?
No, this was her first time. So,
and that's what I think it's going to go one way. And that's why I agree with what you said at the beginning is have a trip sitter, or at least have, if you have never done it and they're going to do it with somebody else, do it with somebody that has a lot of experience. Like if my brother ever wanted to do it, I would do it with him to have some transformative experience, but I would make sure that like I was really conscious and aware of what he's going through. Right. Cause you need that. You have to have that.
Right on. Yeah. So she, I dosed her like with a couple of grams at first. I took two or three grams, and after 2 hours or so go by, she didn't feel anything. So I'm like, look, you want to, I just dosed her with like 5 grams. She's like, sure. Why not? Takes five, another hour or so goes by and she says she doesn't, feel anything. And I'm like, okay, this is very strange, whatever. So I'm off my head. I'm off my rocker. And she's like, all right, well, I don't feel it, but let's do your regression, whatever. I'm like, okay. So we do this thing. She kind of walks me through to this like traumatic memory I had in my childhood, walks me through it. And I actually feel better after the experience. Well, it seemed like everything was fine, but we start having this conversation. I don't remember exactly what about, but I start to notice what she's saying. Like it doesn't really make sense and it's getting weird. And this is what I remember her saying. She's like, I came here X amount of years ago and I found you and I attached myself to you. I helped you get where you were. I loved you and I grew you. And now it seems like you don't need me anymore and you don't love me anymore. And I'm like, what are you? I looked at her and I shit you not. She shapeshifted into a fucking reptilian. She had yellow teeth, yellow eyes. I shit you not. She even grew a couple of feet. She was wearing this nightgown. Dude,
Were you standing? Like, I want to know. Like,
I was standing. She was sitting. And she stood up and she was like, I was like, what the f-? Dude. And I just ran. I was like, what is going on?
Where'd you run to?
I ran to my basement. I hear like behind me, she's like, you don't love me anymore. I don't know if it's like a voice projecting in my head or what. Well, I'll tell you after what I've come to understand what happened. But so I'm running around. I'm like, okay, the only answer for this, because I'd never had an experience this all-encompassing and intense, because my whole house turned into a dungeon. I looked outside. The skies were blood red. I had bars on the windows all of a sudden. Everything was crazy. I'm like, okay, this is the only explanation for this. I've died, and I'm in hell. You know, a first mushroom overdose, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck to do. That's like, dude, I didn't know what was. So I was like, I ran back upstairs. I'm looking around the corner, making sure I don't see her. So I run into my bathroom. I turn on my shower, jump in the shower. I'm like, just water's running over me. The bathroom's all dingy and crazy looking. Not like I keep a fucking clean house. And this was crazy. Yeah. I was like, what is going on? I didn't know what to do. So I just start praying. I'm like, God, please. As soon as I started praying, bro, this rumbling started happening in my stomach. And I puked up this black oily goo into the tub, bro. And I heard this voice say, no, you are being deceived. Like it rumbled my whole body. After I puke up this black stuff, I feel amazing. And I feel this like loving presence in the room. Everything's not only back to normal, but looks like shiny and beautiful.
Do you think that you actually like you actually puked out some sort of like?
Yes, I saw it. It was I don't know, man. It was black. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. Looked like oil. So I get out and like I open the door and there's, you know, my ex-girlfriend. She's back to normal, not a reptilian anymore. And she's like, "What the fuck's going on?" I was like, "I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. I don't know." So. You know, time goes by, but what happened after that is I started seeing a different side of her. A, may you call it a reptilian side, where she was dark, she was mean, her personality changed, she became very materialistic, and I started seeing a new side of her, and it was like, oh shit, did I just not see this before? And I've come to realize that, man, those mushrooms were showing me a side of her that it, not necessarily that she was actually a reptilian, but it was showing me a darkness in her that I didn't see that I needed to be aware of. And it presented itself as this experience.
Do you think that it's possible that she could have had a demonic attachment to
I think it? That is possible too. I mean, anything's possible, you know.
I used the Ouija board a lot when I was younger. And as soon as I started doing the alien research, like this is crazy. I would like drink like I'm having a scotch or there. Like, I would drink, right? And then I would use the Ouija board while I was like under the influence, which is such a weird thing by myself. My aunt's from Jamaica and she's like, never use it by yourself. I got obsessed with it when I was in Jamaica. Don't do it. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. And then I was 16 and I went home and I'm like, I'm going to attempt to do this because I wasn't afraid of shit. And I think that something attached to me, who knows, God knows what. But once I started realizing, I started doing the alien research, it started telling me things like my mom was a reptilian and me and her are both Scorpios and we butt heads. I'm far this way about conspiracy minded stuff, not trusting the government. And she's kind of over the other way. Like she's a nurse and she's been taught to believe in the medical industry and all that stuff like that. Right. So it was telling me that there's like demonic forces around me and stuff like that, that my mom has an attachment, all this crazy stuff. Right. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I eventually used it with my stepbrother and it wouldn't move unless my hands were on it. And like, I don't know if it's my own consciousness. It was my Ouija board. So like, I have obviously a connection to it or something. And it told me I have 9 spirits attached to me and some were good and some were bad. So I believe, and I felt that I've been possessed or under certain states of consciousness, especially maybe under the influence of alcohol. I've always kept it at bay. And you feel that euphoric feeling sometimes, but I have felt like there's something that is there. Like talking to me sometimes. And that's why I'm wondering, you could have saw like her attachment because you see those drawings that David Icke has done with that one psychic where it looks like it's almost in the backs of people. Right. And it kind of just like hovers over them and stays with them because they draw energy out of these people.
Yeah, man. It could very well be. I've considered that as well. It could be a little mix of both. I don't know, man, but let me tell you this other, because this is probably going to take up the rest of the show. This one experience, man, is crazy. And I still, it still affects me when I think about it today. So there's this happened. Oh, this happened May the 4th of this year. May the 4th be with you all.
Oh, really?
So yes, yes.
I have 2 replica lightsabers. I wish I had it out.
So here we go. So I wake up on this May the 4th. And I just feel weird. And my wife's like, hey, there's a metaphysical fair down the road. Let's go. And I'm usually like, oh, these things are pretty cool. Yeah, let's go check it out. So this day I was like, something was telling me, you don't want to do that. And I was like, oh, whatever. So the whole way there, it's weird, man. All these sad songs are playing on the radio, depressing songs. I'm like changing, like, what the fuck? Like, I'm playing from my Spotify.
Did you dose?
No. I didn't dose or nothing. This is just the morning we're going to the metaphysical fair. So I'm like switching through and like, what the fuck? It's a depressing shit through my spot. Every song is crazy depressing. So I just turn it off. I'm feeling sick. We get to the metaphysical fair And the closer we get to the building, it's like there's this like doom feeling, and I don't know why, and I'm feeling sick. And so we get in there, and my wife wants to go to this one booth where they do aura photography, and it was this old lady who takes your picture. You can see your aura, and she tells you a little bit about what she sees. So we're also there with my producer, Corey, who is the least spiritual person in the world. He's cracked the JFK assassination. He's great with conspiracies, but he don't believe in anything spiritual. He's just there for shits and giggles. It's weird.
As you're talking about this, you're glitching out. Like it's almost like something is like, no, don't tell this story.
Oh, wait. You just wait. All right. So he's there, and she takes my picture for the aura photography, and she's starting to go over what she sees. And like, I'm looking at everyone else's aura, and it's just like one color around. Mine's got like a rainbow around it. And she's telling me what she sees. And she's like, oh, you got a very strong voice. You probably do something talking for a living. I'm like, hey, that's pretty damn good. And so she keeps going on. And my friend runs up, and he's like, oh, is he going to be rich? And she said, no, he's got too many beliefs floating around, and he doesn't have anything concrete. And I'm like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
That sounds like me.
Well, here's the thing. This is crazy, man. So I leave there and I feel even worse. I'm like, what does that lady mean by that? I don't know it bothered me that she said that. And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm going through this existential crisis, not telling anyone about it. And whenever I go through one of these things, I was like, I'm going to eat some mushrooms and figure this shit out. So that's what I did. I got home and I ate about 4 or 5 grams of mushrooms, and I went into my room and started meditating. And, man, this experience was insane. So I normally get to a state where I can communicate with my higher self, my guide, and get some information about what's going on. And I did, and they were like, don't worry about it. It's cool. Let it go. And I'm like, oh, no. I can't I can't let it go. What did you say? They're like, just let it go. It's all right. You never really get to enjoy your experiences. Go watch a movie, listen to music, the opposite of what I normally do. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? All right. So I go upstairs, and my friend Corey's there, my producer, and he's like, yeah, let's watch some TV. So we start watching TV, and I just get this weird, uneasy feeling again, like there's something wrong, some kind of just a heavy uneasiness. So I go outside, and I'm sitting outside on my porch, and he's out there, and we start conversing. And as we're talking, I get this vision that's like floating over me that I can see that is my past lives. And it's like, I've experienced this very conversation with this dude that like thousands of times. Like, it was showing me how many times I've done this before. And I was telling him about what I was seeing. I was like, man, we've done this so many times before. And this was crazy, dude, because a few times during my conversation with him, something else took over my perception and spoke to me through him. And it wasn't him, because I know the way this dude talks. And some of the things that came out of his mouth during this evening, it was not him. And I checked with him the next day. I said, did you say this? He's like, what the fuck? No. So
weird, man.
So here's what happened.
It's
like,
weird because you've been clear. And as soon as you started telling the story, you glitched more and more and stuff like that. Like I'm still like, it's fine now, but it is weird that you've been clear. And then as soon as this story starts to come out, like it is a little weird. And that's, who knows if it's the electric magnetic field.
Hey, it's about to get even weirder. All right. So I'm like, we've done this so many times. We've lived many lives together. And he's like, yes, but it gets refined, doesn't it? And I'm like, what? It does. It seems like it's better. It seems like it's getting better every time. And he walks away and he goes, and I'm trying to follow him to talk to him about something. And I don't know why, but all this information starts flooding to me. And I feel like I solved the mystery of the universe. And like all this ego starts bursting out of me. And I start telling him about it. And I don't even know if it makes any sense, but I start telling him, I could save the world. I figured all this shit out. And it's like coming out, and I start to get angry at like humanity for not figuring it out yet. And I'm like, what the, why didn't anyone else figure any of that? Why can't we just be at peace? And I'm like saying everybody's stupid monkeys and all this stuff. And he looks at me and he goes, well, at some point, doesn't it become a reflection of yourself? And my mind just went And like, I melted, bro. I didn't know what to, and I was like, this is not Corey. This is not my friend. Who's talking to me right now? And he's just sitting there with this stoic look and he's not saying anything. And it's like, it's not, it's, there's something else I'm talking to right now coming through my friend. And I don't know what's real or what's not anymore. I'm like, am I in a vision? He's like, are you in a vision? And I'm like, what the fuck? So I was like, all right. I was like, this, something's weird. And then this knowing, it was a knowing. I knew it. And don't ask me what the fuck. I knew it. I was dead. I just had this knowing, you died. And I was like, what? I just heard it. You felt it. I heard a voice. You died. That's it. You're dead. It's over. And I'm like, what? And I was like, hey, I just been told I died. What's up with that? He's like, did you? And I was like,
like, stop being so cryptic.
Well, I said, well, if I did, can I go back? He's like, yeah, but you got to start all over from the beginning again. And I said, fuck no. Fuck no. I ain't doing this over again. Fuck that. And I was like, can I go back to where I was? He's like, I don't know. Can you? And he starts walking away. And I'm like, what is going on? And when he gets to a certain point, it's like everything snaps back to normal. And he's like, hey, let's go finish that movie. And it was back to him again. And I'm like, what? He's like, come, you're acting weird. Let's go watch the movie. And I'm like, okay. So we go up and we start watching the movie again. And dude, this is where shit fell apart, man. I'm watching the movie, whatever we're watching, and a fucking demon face comes out of the TV and like roars at me. I look over at him and he's a corpse. He's like dead. He's got black circles under his eyes. He looks over. He's just like, he looks at me and he says, just watch the TV, man. That's all you got to do. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, shit.
Like a movie, man.
Dude, I run. Listen to this. I am freaking out. I run back to my wife and I shake her awake. And she's a corpse too, man. She's dead. She's got circles. She starts yelling obscenities at me that I've never heard her say before. Like, dude, it was, I was like, what? I was like, I am dead and I'm in hell. This is the only explanation for what is happening right now. I'm dead and I'm in hell. I took off outside and all the streetlights were out. It was like pitch black. I've never seen my neighborhood like this before. I'm like, what is going on? And I got the sense, I got this knowing again. Yeah, you're dead and you didn't have that belief. So guess what? You're in hell or in purgatory or something. I'm like, what the fuck? And I was like, I just,
because I don't believe in any religion. I don't.
Dude, I listen to this. Okay. So I like get down on my knees. I'm like, fuck, okay. Jesus, help me.
What? Jesus, somebody.
Listen to two, bro. It gets crazy. I was like, maybe I need to find God. That's the answer. Yeah. If I'm dead right now, maybe I can just go find God in the afterlife. Dude, I start walking down my street, and apparently neither my friend nor my wife knew I left.
Like on your street, physically, you're walking physically down the street.
Well, in my mind, I'm dead, and I'm walking in, you know, I'm the astral life, you know, afterlife. So I'm walking, and I'm having a life review, man, a legit life review, all these images of everything fucked up I did in my life, where I've been, everything. And I'm like, all I can think of is like, this is going to be a long night, and I just got to find God, I guess. So I'm like,
for God on your street.
So that's what I do. I start walking, dude. And they have, I can either go straight with a bunch of street lights lit up in a row, or I can take a right and it's kind of dark, but there's this like glowing haze in the distance. So I'm like, fuck, I'll follow them street lights. I start walking. As soon as I get under the first one, poof, it just goes out. Like it explodes, dude. I'm like, oh fuck, I can't go this way. So I back up and I turn. And I'm just, it seems like forever that I'm walking down this dark street and they got like dogs walking by that look like little demons. I can like sense people in their house looking out their window and talking shit about me, just crazy dark stuff occurring. Yeah. And like, I'm walking down the street and it seemed like forever. And I'm like, I give up. I surrender. I laid down in the middle of the motherfucking road and I was like, just take me to wherever I'm supposed to go. Take me to hell. Take me to heaven. And I look up. And man, the stars were beautiful. And they had it like, it was like amazing. And I'm like, well, this can't be like hell. This is too beautiful. I didn't know there was beauty in hell. And like, all of a sudden, big booming voice comes in. It's all about your perspective, even in the afterlife. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And I get up and I'm looking around and everything doesn't look as dark and gloomy anymore. And this voice says, look for a light, but close your eyes first. I'm like, all right. I close my eyes, man, and I see demon mouths and eyes trying to chomp me up. And I was like, I don't see no light anywhere. The voice comes through again. Nah, look around. Take a good look around. Look for a light. So I did, and I see this light, like hazy light in the distance with my eyes closed. And I was like, all right, I'm going to start walking towards that. Dude, all of a sudden I'm in a new neighborhood and the houses look like really big and nice and like it's shiny and beautiful. And I'm like, damn, this is different. And I'm looking, I'm like, I get the sense I need to do something. I need to talk to someone in one of these houses. And I'm like, so either I'm going to go knock on one of these doors and they're going to take me to the hell authority, which is Satan, and I'm going to have words with him. And that's going to be one option. Or I'll knock on this door and it'll be an angel and they'll take me to heaven and it'll be over with. And I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to do this. So I see every house is like kind of, you know, the same, except for this one fucking house that has a huge welcome sign over the door. It's lit up. It's got these bright ass lights all over the porch. It's shiny and beautiful. And I'm like, that has to be it. So, dude, I shit you not, I just walk up to this house and I ring the doorbell. And this beautiful blonde haired lady answers the door. She said, can I help you? And I said, is this where I'm supposed to be?
You're like, are you an angel? No,
listen, bro. It gets crazy, man. It gets crazier than this. She's like, hold on a second. She closes the door. And I'm just standing there like waiting. And all of a sudden, this big, like beautiful man opens the door. He just got this shiny aura of him. Yeah. He's like, son, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I think I died. And he's like, oh, hold on. Shake my hand. And I shook his hand. He's like, nah, you're here. You're not. I don't think you're dead. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know what happened then, man. He's like, well, anything else it could be? I was like, I did eat a bunch of mushrooms early. I don't know. And he's like, well, that could be it. And look, I grew up Christian Catholic, and I was terrified of all of that. I rejected all of it. I still reject aspects of it. But what this dude did, he said, hey, son, would you like to pray with me? And all I thought was, fuck. This is it. This is the angel. Dude, I get down. I start praying, crying with this man. And he's like, would you like to go home? And I was like, home meaning home or where I just, you know, he's like, to your house. And I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm supposed to reenter that situation. You know, I'm still thinking I'm dead, you know. He's like, well, let me see if I can bring you home. We get into this big, beautiful white truck. Looks like a chariot of heaven. Dude. He's talking to me. He's like, so what do you do for a living? Telling him about this. And he's like, well, I'm a preacher. And I'm like, what the fuck? I said, all right, well, maybe I should give your side a little shout out on my show. And he's like, oh, that'd be wonderful. So, dude, he brings me home. I walk back in. There's Corey. There's my wife. And they're like, what the fuck? Where'd you go? They're all freaked out. And I'm like, I don't know. And again, I'm like, I can't talk about this tonight. We're gonna put this pin in this till tomorrow. So, dude, this is like, it's like a new awakening for me. Now, I'm still very wary of the whole thing, but I will tell you that I have a greater understanding of what happened. So the next day I'm like, what the fuck? Am I like supposed to go find Jesus now? What is going on? So I wake up and I'm like, I got to go to the mountains and clear my mind, go for a hike or something. I get in my car and for some reason, I just drive directly to that dude's house. I'm like, what the? All right. So I get out and I go knock on. I want to thank him just for bringing me home. Like,
yeah.
Go knock on the door. His wife answers again. She's like, Chris, thank God you're all right. She's like, would you like to come to Sunday service with us? And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, yeah, why not? Fuck it. So I go. And when I walk into this church, I start getting downloads and realizations of everything and why it all happened the way it did. And to my current understanding is because I was reaching out to that energy, that Christ energy, the God energy, which I 100% believe there is a source, there is a God. There may not be a dude named Jesus Christ that ever existed, but there is that consciousness energy. And I think I was calling out to it. enough to where it reached out and it presented itself to me. I went to that church and I was looking around and I saw the dogma. I saw the sadness. I saw the fear in all the people of the church. And I'm like, this is not, you know, this is not where it's at. You know, these people are terrified of their own existence, you know, and 100%. I had a 2-hour conversation with the preacher that day and he was terrified of everything I had to say about my own life and my own understandings. And I'm like, okay. And obviously there's something to everything. And I'm like, why have I been doing this show the whole time? Why haven't I been gaining all these theological understandings, spiritual understandings, talking to people from all walks of life? Well, because that's part of my journey. And another part of my journey is because I was born into the Christian faith. That is what my theological understandings gravitate towards when shit hits fans and things of that nature. So I got the understanding that there is something to that. There is something to the what you would call God source. And my job is to bring everything that I've gathered through my whole life through doing this show and really not only bring the new understandings to Christians who are really stuck in this terrifying box and are afraid of everything, that there's just one message. It's just love thy neighbor, and you don't have to be scared of that. I mean, that's the simplest thing. And if more people would just realize that, all the dogma can just be flushed down the toilet. Like everything that people – what traumatized me growing up as a kid, all that extra shit can go. We just need to have an understanding that there's a light energy. There's a source. There is an ultimate good out there that we can gravitate towards. And the understanding that the name of Christ, the concept of Jesus Christ, is an easy way to get to that understanding, and it's a universal way. And how whatever amount of truth is to all the stories, all the biblical stories, who cares? What was shown to me is there is a loving God energy. It presented itself to me, and I can't deny it after that. So,
and this is what I've said on the show. Like, I have a couple friends. I have a friend that's a Jehovah Witness. One of my good friends, Brett, that's been on my show numerous times now. I was like, hey, like, you know, I like introducing my audience to my friends and stuff like that, especially with different outlooks on life. And he's a Christian, strong, like, hardworking dude that, like, you know, essentially like builds crazy stuff. He's a welder. He just like he built like an apocalypse truck. Like, it's wild. Like, the amount of money he spent on this truck. And I've always told him that, like, I don't believe in your magic book, but I said if you were to emulate somebody and you wanted to be like somebody, at least the story of him, Christ, is someone to be like, because he was forgiving and he was strong. But also, there's a thing that Christians forget is that Jesus Christ did flip tables for usury and stuff like that. Like, he was like enough is enough kind of person. I just put out a new song called Free Yourself. And essentially one of the lines I talk about, like, it's all part of the plan, right? Christians, like, just don't fight against the system then, like, kind of thing. So, and that's part of their problem. And I find that with the religious dogma is that it is, I truly believe, a construct to divide and conquer people. But that being said, out of all the different faiths that I've talked to throughout my life, Christians are by far the nicest, most loving and caring people that actually want to care about all, like, their fellow people and human beings. And I always say to be human is to be humane. And it is interesting that you say you'd have those type of experiences. And it is crazy because, like, you're like, my camera started glitching out, your camera. It's like, and you can't stop. Maybe if this is some sort of like electromagnetic field that is distributing, like, essentially disturbing some of the feed. Cause I believe, like, that can happen. There's been times we've talked about, like, some dark stuff on the show and something starts messing up instantly as soon as we mention something. So I do believe that is possible, but I've had these experiences too, where I'm like, the one time I was watching, as weird as it is, James Brown, I listen to fun music or whatever. Right. So I was listening to Rick James. James Brown comes on and it's when he's high on camera, right? And there's this famous footage where he's, like, definitely out of his mind on cocaine. And it's, I see his face start changing on the screen and I'm like, he's not human. That's not a human guy. What we know as human. And then like, I was like, that guy's like a reptilian. He's some sort of dark entity. My TV instantly shuts off. My wife's upstairs getting ready. I'm on like 3 grams of mushrooms. Your camera's loading. So weird. As soon as I mentioned the reptilian stuff, and then so it's really weird. And then the TV shuts off and I'm like, well, that's weird. She's like, what? I'm like, the TV just shut off. But then there's noise coming through the speaker. I can't explain. It just sounds like voices and stuff. And then, but when I click back on the TV, everything's frozen. So there's no way, like, and the audio didn't sound like what I was listening to. So it freaked me out. And I was like, I think that something was trying to tell me something. But there's also been another experience where I was watching Jay and Silent Bob, one of my favorite movies. And Elizabeth Shannon, the famous actress, started shapeshifting on the in the film. I saw her change into some sort of like what looked like a reptilian to me, some scaly demonic creature. So I do believe it is a possibility that you can like pull these things out of the ether of and maybe identify people who are not or either have some sort of demonic attachment or themselves are connected to some sort of satanic dark bloodline. But it's weird the things that mushrooms will show you. And the fact that that happened to you is the wildest shit because you could have knocked on any door and it could have been some guy that like maybe has meth, making a meth thing in his basement. It's like, what the fuck are you doing on my property? You know what I mean? Anything. Yeah. Anything. Could have been some asshole. Could have been any. It could have been anybody. But for some reason, you knocked on the door of somebody, Christians, who are like very loving, caring people that just like care about their fellow human. That's so crazy, man.
Dude, it is, and it's again something that I really. It's impossible for me to ignore that it was presented to me in the way it was, and after all the experiences I have, there's no denying that there is an evil dark force, whether it's demons or reptilians or aliens. There is something fundamentally wrong, not only with these etheric realms, but it's seeped into our reality. If you look at all our systems, political systems, education system, healthcare, fundamentally parasitic and anti-human at its core.
First.
Yeah,
to heal you is to hurt you and all these things. It's true. You see, it is parasitic because that's exactly, these people are parasites.
And anti-human.
Yeah, is parasitic. And you see this where like, I had a co-host that a gay dude, token gay dude didn't, whatever, he helped me keep the show alive. And now he's trans. And I saw this thing take hold of him where he kept going one way more and more and more. And then I feel like something took hold of him and now he thinks he's this and that. And it's bizarre to me to see someone fundamentally change their appearance to such a large extent to believe that they're so. And I think that whatever, everybody is human and deserves to be treated, with love and respect. But there is something about that whole movement of taking the DNA of who you are. And this could be with the shoddy shot medicine time stuff of changing the fundamental things that make us human and almost reversing it into something that's not, like all those surgeries that happen. It's not good for people. It actually destroys your body for eternity to the rest of your physical life here. So, and I've seen stuff take hold of people. I've felt it take hold of myself. I told you about that shadow people experience when I first came on your show. That's something that has always changed my mind about what is real and what is not real. I saw something sober as a judge, like even a judge is probably not that sober. I saw like entities looking at me as I was laying in bed. I'd see paralysis and saw a 7-8 foot tall creature look down at me while I was wide awake, no, like no drugs, nothing. And this thing looked at me in a claws, all sorts of shit. And I was like, I was 19. And it always stuck with me. That experience will always live with me. Something was followed me from Cuba or wherever, whatever that was. It's frightening, man.
That's why I cannot trust anyone in this love and light spiritual community that says these entities don't exist, that it's all angels and it's all love. The way I see it is these people who are channeling entities or channeling angels, most of them probably have no idea what they're really talking about. I've done tons of shows on tricksters and djinn and these dark entities that can shapeshift into anything, and they work off of flattery. They work off of your ego. They make you feel good about yourself, like you're going to bring this special message to humanity. You're from a special bloodline. You have all these talents inside you that you can, you're the only one that can bring this message. And then they're trapped in some sort of spiritual woo-woo nonsense that's leading people in the wrong direction.
There's a couple famous of them. There's like, I think her name's Barbara Mancini. There's also that one guy that's bald and he's like, he goes, And like, people are like convinced that he's like the, like connected to something.
Bashar.
That's that guy. interesting to say the least. I have, what's her name? Elizabeth Hay. Is that her name? She's coming on the show in October and she claims to channel entities, but she's someone that's more believable where she doesn't go into a trance. She just has these like psychic abilities that she's had since she was a kid and thought it was some religious upbringing. You know, so like it is strange. I do believe that people have the possibility to be able to channel things to some extent.
They definitely do. But the question is, do they know what they're communicating with?
That's what I found with the Ouija board, right? Mm-hmm. It told me, like, how was I supposed to, even as a kid when I was using it, I was 12, 13, me and my friends, I thought it was a great time. It's like fun at parties. Like, I'll use it. We would come home at lunch on our break because I live right near the fucking elementary school. In grade 7, we used to come at the lunchtime and start using the Ouija board. It's like we got obsessed with it. We had no idea what the hell we were talking to. We thought we were talking to Harold Houdini. We'd tell us jokes, like whatever that was. And we would do it like 3 a.m. in the morning. And it would be like, oh, I'm your grandfather. And then we would ask the questions and it seemed like really sketchy. And then what is that? Is that your subconscious or is it something trying to break through?
Yeah, man.
And the thing is, you saying like what? Like, I do believe that I was supposed to talk and meet with people like you, right? And the community that has kind of been formed, like Juan, like me and Juan started podcasting. I started a little before he did, and he's grown into the, he's been pretty successful because he's like close to Sam Tripoli, and Sam Tripoli's doing the best he can to kind of be an objective truth on in the middle of things, right? Mm-hmm. And but you see that there's a community formed, Reality Stars, all these kind of people that are kind of all together, and we're trying to make something and awaken people and just questioning everything. Like have you ever had Shane from Inquirers of Reality on?
I think so. I think
he's an interesting dude. He claims that he was at some sort of festival. Right. And it was during COVID and they're walking around and he saw this person gave him a weird vibe. And essentially they had a mask on and pulled down their mask and the face looked like a reptilian face all of a sudden, just like that. And I'm like, so like, who knows what things are just lurking around, walking around our reality. And it is weird. You're crystal clear. Everything's running good. But as soon as that story that you had, it is weird that it almost met like. It's almost like you were touching something, right? And the more you touched it, the more that things became erratic, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. This reality is so much more interesting than many people give it credit for. And there is, I think there's multiple layers to it. And right now, I think we're having this collective experience where we're slowly peeling through some of these layers collectively. And there's a reaction to this kind of consciousness awakening where the more people collectively wake up, the more there's this insane reaction from the matrix system as it pertains to like politics and theater and politics and some of the insane agendas that are coming out that are leading people to hate each other and be polarized. It seems like the world has gone mad right now, but it's all seems like it's a symptom of this mass awakening.
I know. And I have problems with a lot of the mass immigration stuff. Like I started a show called Tomcast. I essentially just yell about what's going on with the world and the government. And I think that there's serious problems. And like, it is like, I believe in unity, but at the same time, diversity is not our strength because differences do not make us stronger. I don't believe that. I think that at the heart of things, if everyone woke up, sure, that'd be great. But if you have too many people with different beliefs coinciding in the same place, there's no way there will be unity. It's impossible. That's why there was Christian nations and Muslim nations and all that stuff. And that's why, like, I would love for humanity to wake up and realize that we're all kind of one. But you see people that are either entitled or believe that this and this, like people that come to Canada and they believe they're Canadian just because they step on the soil and stuff like that. But it's in like our blood. And that's what bothers me about some of this stuff. Like, I'm trying to think about things more compassionately. That's why I like people like you. But at the same time, there's part of me that's like, no, no, no. Like, my family has built this country. I've been here for generations. And then it gets into that physical aspect of things. Of like, now, and I've told you this on the last show I was on, that I've looked into aliens and the occult and especially the paranormal. But what fascinates me now is the physical aspects of who's in control and the Zionist shit. Because it starts to, once you start peeling back that onion, it is weird. That I posted a meme where it's like the rabbit hole. If once you get deeper in it, you just take away the T, and it's like rabbi hole. So like, <Yeah. laughs> you know what I mean? There is a weird thing to do with the Talmudic Jews and what's going on with that. So that's what I'm like. I'm a rabid dog looking for his bone, and I'm like interested in really wanting to dig into the Bolshevik Revolution stuff because it fascinates me. Like, why did these things take place in history, right? So, and that's why it's like, you go from like this, I've went from spirituality and paranormal and occult to like now more physical about like, hey, what has happened physically here to change and alter our reality and history?
Mm.
What do we have connections with?
Yeah. And there's so much of it right now that is becoming co-opted. It's becoming infiltrated. It's hard to decipher a lot of the information coming out. And especially in here in the United States with the political polarization, I have friends that are brilliant when it comes to the corruption and conspiratorial aspects of our reality, but they can't see that they want to vote and they think that one of these clowns is actually going to make a difference in their lives. Yeah, it's one of our final frontiers that we have to get past is this political system. And another thing, do you think that if we had evidence of the truth, the ultimate truth of maybe what if it's God that created, if it's aliens, if whatever, if we had the ultimate evidence, would that really solve all our problems? Will we stop being as tribal and maybe come together with this universal truth that because now everyone knows there's nothing to fight about? I don't know,
man, because people are still going to believe that their beliefs are right. That's why I've said to like, you know, I'm not really a fan, and this is just my opinion, of all the Indians that are coming into Canada. I don't think they're very educated people. I think that even some Muslims, they come from countries that are poverty torn and torn by war. So the same people that push mass immigration are the same people that want to, that have displaced these people in their countries, funded by Israel, all that stuff, right? And my thing is they come over here, they think, oh, we're gonna have a better life. They get handed everything, and then we're like nothing but paying for them and these tax slaves. I believe that doesn't matter what party you vote for, you're essentially in servitude to the government. And it's like all these different beliefs and these people, they're not educated. And they, if you're only educated in your religion and that's it, because there's a lot of Muslim countries and in India,
that's pure destabilization. That's all intentional. You know, there's nothing natural about any of that. So all we see with the splitting of immigration is just about destabilizing these countries.
That's exactly what's happening. And it's like, there's a great video where it's like the immigration actually enforces poverty because the people that are actually skilled go to other countries and they don't spend the time to actually build and help the infrastructure of their own country because there's opportunities elsewhere. And the mass immigration thing, I think, is some of the last straws being pulled to literally destabilize the entire Western hemisphere and destroy it from within. Like, Canada has no way out. And the States is in a little better condition. At least you guys have a little more, you guys have guns and shit. And we do to some extent, but not like you guys do where you could legitimately fight back in militias and stuff like that. And I don't even know if that's, I don't want that to be necessary, but Canada is like drastically going into a place of communism, like pure communism, Marxist. Like, we're already socialist because we pay 60% in taxes for like most of our shit. If we were to pay, someone did the math, we were to pay all of our taxes essentially what month, it would be July. We would spend 6 months out of the year paying money to the government. And it's crazy, this invisible fucking money that they created. And that's why I'm like, it's hard to not be angry about this stuff. Like, I really like this guy, the raging dissident, Jeremy McKenzie, a Canadian patriot, fought in Afghanistan, found that everything he was doing was a lie, and started digging into some more of the Zionist stuff. And he's very angry, but I like his show because he's the only person that's been like, look how corrupt they are. How are we still doing this shit, man? Mm. And I don't know what to break free to get people to break free from that.
Yeah, it's one of those final frontiers, man. All you can do is just keep steadfast and present your understandings of things, and, you know, try and keep a level head about everything, and that's all we can do here.
Yeah, I know you got to get out of here, but even I just shared that video of Cueto Mutbar. I've always loved that stuff with David Icke. I've listened to that. Like, he was the person that opened the door for me.
Oh, this Tuesday I've got David coming on.
Oh, I keep trying to get him, but I keep trying. I've sent him numerous emails, like, try in July, try it this time. Obviously, you've already had that threshold where the door has been kind of open, but he is by far one of the most favorite people. I'm probably one of his biggest fans, and even by Ghost Billy will, like, literally joke about it, like, and say, like, you know, horrible things about that stuff, like, kidding around with me. But, like, essentially Benjamin Fulford, weird as it is, when I was, like, 15, opened the door to Harp, and that led to David Icke. And it is interesting to see some of the stuff that Cueto Mutbar was saying about, like, how I'm afraid that we're essentially going to be leading into probably one of the darkest times. And is that necessary, essentially, to awaken humanity and be like, wow, there is one evil force dictating over the rest of society, right? Essentially, yeah. It's like we all have the same enemy.
Yeah. And I think, in a way, you know, the events of 2020 may have been guided by a force beyond us, and we have a lot of people becoming aware of it, which is a good thing. So there has been good things coming out.
More than I've ever seen. So I want to get you back on, maybe to have more of a live stream kind of rant, because that's what I enjoy. Like, and Strange Brew, you've noticed that we're structured very much of, like, what topic we're diving into. We're doing Richard Ramirez right now. So we've done the first part. It's not out in audio yet, but I feel like the time this comes out, it will be. And then, so we do, like, certain subjects, but to be able to, I've always said that to have people on like you, when I'm able to kind of just go off, especially that's why I go on your show, it kind of, it's a different experience, I think, for the fans. So I want you to shout out your stuff and let people know where to find you, because I think that's great.
Yeah, man. Thanks again for having me. This was a blast. Looking forward to the next time. You can find all Forbidden Knowledge news content on all podcast providers. Our website is forbiddenknowledge.news. We're on Rumble. If you want to get premium content, go to rockfin.com/FKN+. And if you would like to help with the donation for our upcoming film production, go to supportfkn.com, and you can help out there. Anything's greatly appreciated. And thank you again, man. This was great.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to ask you, leave your computer on to let it download. Yeah. I'm going to end it with a song, just in case, because some of the it went a little crazy when you were telling your story. So I'm just going to end it on one of my new songs for all the people watching and listening at the end of this. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. This is a great conversation. Yeah, man. Thanks for going to come back on. We'll do something fun next time.
Hell so, yeah. This was fun.
See you, dude.
Peace.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.